Good Saturday morning to each and every one of you. It's going to be that way, is it? It's going to be that way, okay? I can roll that way too. I understand, believe me. So if you feel like you need to take a nap during this session, feel free. Just remember, He knows, He sees, and He examines your heart attitude before Him. So if you want to sleep, go ahead. Yes, good morning. I trust you're doing all right. Listen, here's the thing. This morning, Saturday morning, where you are just beginning to wake up, I sent my wife a text earlier and I said, "No, I'm feeling pretty good at the moment." I didn't wake up feeling pretty good, but I'm feeling pretty good at the moment. So hopefully you'll get there as well. But I want you to know, hear me say this to you right now. This morning, we're going to talk about some things that you probably haven't thought much about, really and truly. We're going to talk about an event that's going to happen in the future for every believer, every believer. Last night, we talked about an event that's going to happen in the future for those who are not believers, and that's some of you. That's some of you. Some of you have not made a decision to trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if that is you, and if you never do, the event we talked about last night, the Great White Throne, is the event you will experience in the future. We talked about our reaction to that. One reaction is fear. One reaction is gratitude. One reaction is a desire to tell others, because we know people who don't know about that reality, the Great White Throne Judgment. Today, we're going to talk about an event only for believers. Only for believers. And when I was your age, I never heard much about this event. I grew up in a great Christian home. I grew up going to camp all over the country. I grew up in an environment, we talked about environment, I grew up in an environment where I heard the truth of God's Word all the time. But I don't recall hearing much about the throne event that every believer will experience. And so we're going to talk about that today. But without further ado, it's important that we enter Momo Nation one more time. Momo Nation one more time. And attitudinally, I would encourage you, just in light of this, here's what I'm going to say to you. It's simple, and it's smothered and covered in love. Here it is. Get over yourselves. There it is. Get over yourselves and be willing to enthusiastically participate in what we call the Momos. So I invite you to please stand up. Please stand up. You don't have to talk to stand. It's a crazy phenomenon. You don't have to talk to stand. And it's Saturday morning and you still are waking up, so that's not too hard to do. Just standing up. Remember last night? I forget it. So what was last night? Oh, yeah. Living today in light of that day. Now, I'm going to keep it easy and real this morning, because this question is one that I want you to think about like crazy. This question. So it's going to be a very simple motion. We're simply going to say, which throne? Which throne? That's it. It's a question that I want you to ask and answer, and it's a question that I want you to think about asking those that you interact with. It could be, and it should be, that after you leave this place today, you will have enough information for you to explain to somebody these two throne events. And in case you can't remember it all, hey, you can go to the text that explains it. Revelation. It's one revelation, by the way. Revelation chapter 20 explains in detail the Great White Throne. In a minute or two, we're going to look at the judgment seat of Christ for believers, and where you can turn in God's Word to know that. So we'll put those both together. What's today's Momo? It's simply, which throne, right? That's it. Which throne? Easy. It's going to be more complicated this afternoon. Much more complicated motions. Just trying to understand your Saturday morning slumber. Okay. Three, we're going to put them both together now. We're doing this just to get warmed up and loose. This is the classic way to get warmed up and loose. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Living today in light of that day. Which throne? Which throne? Have a seat, dear ones. Blessings upon your heads as you do so. Have a seat. Let's pray and let's ask God to help us to take away distractions, even if that is sleepiness, and to teach us whatever it is he wants us to learn. Here's the thing. I wanted to share this with you just to be kind and respectful to you. If you're talking, I am not going to. And if you're talking, if I'm talking, you're going to return that kind, respectful favor, right? That's just the way to interact well with one another. So if I'm talking, you're not. If you're talking, we're not. That's how we're going to roll. Mutual respect for one another. Oh, I love it. Let's pray. Father, help us to indeed show that to one another today. Father, help us to be respectful and to consider others as more important than ourselves. And not just look out for our own interests, but look out for the interests of others. And we know that we have the perfect example in your Son, the Lord Jesus, in how to really live that way. So help us to be like him today. Help us to be like him. And help us as believers, those of us who have accepted Christ, the Lord Jesus, as our personal Savior, help us to get a hold of this fact that one day we are going to stand before him. And he is going to evaluate absolutely everything. From the moment we trusted in him as Savior to the moment we stand before him and all in between, he's going to evaluate that. And so may we live in light of that evaluation. Help us to think seriously about these things. Father, I beg of you, I ask that these young men and women might wake up, not just physically today because they're tired, but spiritually they'd wake up and really be able to ask and answer our question. Which throne will we stand before? What does my future hold? These are questions we're considering. What do we know for sure will happen in the future? We thank you that you've told us that we can know for sure that this event called the Great White Throne will happen. And all those who are dead, spiritually, physically, will experience it. We thank you that we can know about this event called the Judgment Seat of Christ. We thank you that we can know the details of how this will look. And it can motivate us to be more Christ-like. So help us, we pray. Take away distractions and teach us what you want us to learn. In the name of Jesus, amen. I have a very important question. It's 9:39 right now. What time do we want to be done? 11:39, 2 hours this session. That's perfect. I'm just kidding. What did you say?
You have plenty of time.
Okay, so we're just going to roll. Here we go. If you have your packets, dear ones, I invite you to take them out. If you don't, I invite you to turn in your Bibles. Ultimately, we're going to land the plane today in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is the passage in God's Word that describes the event known as the Judgment Seat of Christ in the greatest detail. Now, you'll be amazed if you really have interest. You shouldn't be talking now. You would be amazed how many passages really talk about this event, the Judgment Seat of Christ. Last night, and this is the first page of your packet, I said there are many people, Paul, John, Peter, many of the disciples, all the disciples actually, were challenged to live in light of the future of reward. It's a biblical motivation. It's a biblical motivation. And we could talk more about that, but take my word on it, for it, that reward is a motivation that we find in Scripture. The fact that one day our lives will be evaluated and rewarded. And so this concept is all over the text, all over God's Word. Second page of the handout where it says, which throne? We looked at Revelation chapter 20, but you'll see in Romans 14:10 and 2 Corinthians 5:10 that both of them say virtually the same thing. Virtually the same thing. They both say that, you know what, it's really important to remember that we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Every one of us. You can read those if you like on your own. Romans 14:10 and 2 Corinthians 5:10. It's in your packet. And if you didn't get a packet, we'll try to make sure you get one before the weekend's over. But those are the two central passages where they basically just make a statement and say, everybody, we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Who's the everybody? Romans is written to what kind of people? As is 2 Corinthians. What kind of people is it written to? Believers. Thanks for coming today. It's written to believers, those who have actually made a decision to trust in Christ. And so when it says we must all, the we is talking about believers. Talking about believers. And it says that we all must appear, stand before an event or a place called the judgment seat of Christ. When I went to seminary, I went to Emmaus Bible College for 4 years. Then I went to Dallas Seminary for 3 years. And while I was in seminary, I was a single guy at the time, and I hung out with three other single guys. We spent a lot of time together. And one of those guys, his name is Dennis. Dennis kept talking about this event. He kept saying, remember the Bema. B-E-M-A. And to be honest, I didn't know why he was so caught up with that event until I got to know Dennis. Until I got to know what he was like and what really made his heart beat and what was important to Dennis. Because he was saying to me and to Scott and to Todd, he was saying to us, guys, we need to remember the Bema seat of Christ. B-E-M-A. Some people choose to pronounce it Bema. I choose to pronounce it Bema. There's liberty in the pronunciation, dear friends. But this Bema seat is what is being talked about here. And I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine an elevated throne or an elevated platform upon which a throne was seated, placed. And the judge, the one who has the standard and knows the way in which one is to live, or in that context, back in the original days of the Olympic Games, they knew the rules of competition. And so the judge who was seated on the, what's it called? What kind of seat? Bema seat, the judgment seat. That judge, his job, responsibility was to evaluate all those who participated in the competition, all those who ran the race, all those who were involved in the games of that day. They would come before this elevated throne or platform upon which the judge was seated, the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat. And that judge was fair. That judge was impartial. That judge was just. And that judge's job was simply and solely to evaluate, to judge the performance of the one in which, of the one who was competing. When Paul writes in Romans and in 2 Corinthians 5 and says, we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what he was talking about. The Bema seat. If there are three words, and this is a little hinty hint, winky wink for our next Momo. If there were three words that I would want you to remember the rest of your time on the planet, it would be these three words. Remember the Bema. Remember the Bema. Here's what I'm going to say to you. The judgment seat of Christ that we're talking about, this throne experience for only believers, listen to me. It should change your lives radically. If you're going to be like Paul or Peter or John or other of the disciples, the apostles, and you're going to live today in light of that day, that day, that day, I'm going to tell you, your life is going to radically change. You'll be thinking more carefully and clearly about what you do and why you do it, knowing that your whole life is going to be evaluated. I said it to you last night. You might have missed it, so I'm saying it to you again this very AM. Listen to me. It does matter how you live. It does matter. Now, salvation, I want to be clear when I say this to you. Salvation is 100% always free. It's never based upon us doing something to earn it. It's never based upon us doing something to keep it. Isn't that refreshing? It's always based upon unmerited, undeserved favor. What do we call that? What's the word for that? Grace. Grace is unmerited, undeserved favor. Paul says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not of yourselves, not of works that we're saved. Because if it was, we'd go around saying, look at what I've done to be saved. That's why it says, lest any man should boast or brag about how they got saved. It's always by faith. For by grace you have been saved through faith, trusting and believing, accepting and receiving this gift of salvation. So don't be confused. Salvation is never earned. It's never something we do based upon our own efforts or works. It's always a gift. Amen? It's a gift. What a gift. Salvation. But once someone has accepted that free gift of salvation, in a real sense, that's when your race begins. That's when you begin your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when you're born again. Remember last night I said to you, for a believer, you're born twice and die once at most. For an unbeliever, you're born once and you die twice. But when you're born again, as someone who becomes a Christian, that moment is the moment where your life has changed radically. Paul says it this way, the old is gone, the new has come. You're now a new creation in Christ. And now we are supposed to be living our lives still by faith. He's the one who provides us the ability to do what he wants us to do anyway. But we are supposed to live lives that please him in all respects. The judgment seat of Christ is a great motivating event. One day, he's going to evaluate it all. He's going to evaluate it all. So don't believe the lie of the land which says, do whatever you want. Say whatever you want. See whatever you want. Be whatever you want. It doesn't matter. None of it matters. That's not what God's word says. So don't believe the lie. There is a right, there is a wrong, and the Lord Jesus does want us to live according to his word. I said this to you last night, you might have missed it. This would be a great review question if I had review questions. I've been saying to my kids and kids all over the country, doing life God's way is the best way, so obey. Not just because you have to, but because you understand that if I do life God's way, I'm actually going to enjoy what he has created anyway, life. If I do life his way, it's the best way. So it makes sense for me to obey. Romans 14:10, 2 Corinthians 5:10. It's a simple declaration of a significant reality. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This raised or elevated platform upon which the judge, the Lord Jesus, will sit. And one day we will stand before him. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you there? We should be there. If you're not there, feel free to turn there. I know your phones are off. I promise not to use my phone during my message. Your phone should be off. And hopefully you brought a Bible. If not, you have a packet that has this information for you. Here's what it says. Paul's writing here. And he's talking about, he uses the illustration of building. He's using an illustration of building, and he's talking about himself and Apollos. And he said to those that he was writing to just previously, you shouldn't be talking now. He said to those people, listen, somebody plants and somebody waters, and that's just the reality. But we are all just servants. So don't be worried about who you are following or reputation or other people's evaluation of your life. We're just servants. One day, the evaluation that really matters is going to take place. And that's when Jesus examines it all. And so listen to what it says. Paul says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. According to the grace, and it's all about grace. What is grace, by the way? How do we define that? I forget already. Help me. Unmerited or undeserved favor. According to the grace of God, that's where it comes from, which was given to me. Paul's writing here and he says, I've been given grace, so have we. And then he describes himself this way, as a wise master builder. I laid a foundation and another is building upon it. He's talking about the reality of a special and specific calling in his life. He was establishing and planting churches. He was coming into one city and going to another city and laying a foundation that is the establishment of a church. The church is all about the people. And so he's saying, that's what I'm doing and others are doing it with me. But he describes himself as a wise master builder. I laid a foundation and another is building upon it, but let each man, hear me say this to you, verse 10, do you see it? This was true for Paul, it was true for Apollos, it's true for every believer. By way of practical application, this is true for every one of us. It says this, do you have your Bibles or the handout? End of verse 10, here's what it says. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. Now you might say, wait a minute, I'm not a builder. What's going on here? He's just talking about how one lives. He's talking about how one serves. He's talking about an individual believer's life from the moment they trust in Christ to the moment they stand before Christ. He's saying, be a wise master builder. 11, he says, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's ultimately the foundation, and we are building upon him. It's a building illustration. That might be strange language, but it's really just talking about how we walk, how we live. Remember our theme for the weekend, living today in light of that day. This is describing that day. For our remaining time, I'm going to give you three steps. Three steps to the judgment seat of Christ. This is how it's going to go down. And it's going to happen for every person who's a Christian. Every one of us. The first part is this. The first part is the big reveal. The big reveal. The word reveal or the word unveil or the word disclose. Or the words made manifest are described here. The big reveal is when everything is made evidence and brought to light. The Lord Jesus, the one who is seated on the judgment seat of Christ, is the one who's going to reveal it all. Listen to how Paul writes. Verse 12. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation, who's the foundation ultimately? Not a trick question. It's in the previous verse. You tell me. What's the answer? The Lord Jesus. Yeah. Verse 11, right? Which is or who is Christ Jesus? The foundation. Now, if any man builds upon the foundation, building is how you're living, how you're serving, what you are doing with all that God has given you in your new life. You're born again. And so how you live is the same expression or idea of saying how you build, how you walk, how you behave, what you do. And he uses six illustrations, starting with three that are lasting, the most enduring, and three that are not lasting, that will be burned up, that do not endure. And so he says in verse 12, now if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, that is the most enduring of the building materials mentioned here. Silver is next, precious stones. Then he says wood, hay, and straw. And then verse 13, he goes on to say, and here's where the big reveal is being described. I want you to think about this, about your own life. Here's what's going to happen. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, this is going to happen. Which throne will you stand before? Either last night's throne, the great white throne, which is only for unbelievers, or this throne, which is only for believers. Here's what's going to happen at this throne event. Verse 13. Each man's work will become evident. Each man's work will be shown. Each man's work will be seen. Each man's work will be revealed. This is the first step of the process of the judgment seat of Christ. It all will be made known. All of it. From the moment we trust in Christ to the moment we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, that whole time period of building on the foundation that is Christ, it's all going to be made known. Isn't that crazy to think about? I grew up singing this song. I'm not going to sing it to you. You're welcome. But I grew up singing this song, and maybe you did too. I think some in our room know this song. It says this. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you touch. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful. And there are all sorts of be carefuls, thinking about everything we say and hear and think about. Be careful, little minds, what you think. Feet, where you, all aspects of life. And there's a reason for it. Does anybody know what the song says is the reason for it? Why should we be careful? For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes. Be careful, little ears. Be careful, little feet. Be careful, little mouths. Be careful, little minds. What you say, think, see, do. Go where you go. Because God knows. And He sees it all. There's a Christmas song that we sing. You okay? Yeah. There's a Christmas song that we sing that says this. Oh, you better watch out. Right? How's that go? Does anybody know that one? It'd be appropriate to sing. Oh, you better watch out. You better not what? Cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Why? Santa Claus, seriously, listen to me. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's what? Naughty or nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. Listen to me, people. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So hear me. So be good, for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. Listen to me. I hate to break it to you, but that's not true. Woo! Let's close in prayer. I'm just kidding. Hear me say this to you, though. Listen. Those realities to that little chorus that I love and sing still. We celebrate all aspects of Christmas in our house. There's a sign on our wall that says Christmas is coming. It's up year round. We love to celebrate Christmas and all that it represents. Listen to me. The reality of that little jingle that we just kind of recited together, it's true about the Lord Jesus. It's true. He knows. That's convicting and comforting all at the same time. He knows. He sees. That's convicting and encouraging all at the same time. See, I fear for you. I fear for you that you live in an unrealistic, make-believe social media world. And I want you to understand when I say this to you, everything matters. It all matters. Because it all is going to be revealed, examined, Listen to the words of verse 13. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. There's a phrase, become evident. There's a phrase, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire. And so all the stuff that you tend to think, nobody knows, it doesn't matter. Everybody says, do what you want. You only live white once, so YOLO. Listen, that's not what God says. All of it is going to be revealed. All of it's going to be seen. All of it's going to be examined. All of it's going to be shown. The first step of the judgment seat of Christ is the big reveal. Here's the second step. The big test. The big test. It's tested. You shouldn't be talking now. It's tested by this concept of fire. Fire evidences the idea of perfect, righteous judgment. The Lord Jesus is seated at the judgment seat of Christ, will be one day, and he's going to test it all. And so the idea of fire is used to describe the testing process. What did you use? Was it something with like gold, silver, and precious stones that's lasting and enduring through the test of fire? Or is it like wood, hay, and stubble? You're living, you're walking, you're building. That is all burned up when it's tested by the righteous judge, the Lord Jesus. He's going to test it all. What was the first part of the judgment seat of Christ? I forget. It's Saturday morning. It's hard to remember. What was the first part? The big reveal. What's the second part that we're talking about right now? The big test. The big test or evaluation. What is the means by which God is going to test? The illustration of fire is used in this picture of building on a foundation that is Christ and thinking about what type of building. Remember the end of that verse that I said, look at that. It says this, but let each man be careful how he builds upon it. Be careful. There's a verse on your bulletins that is from, I said it last night, Ephesians chapter 5. I love that verse. It's a great section. And it uses this phrase in the New King James or the King James. It says this, because the days are evil and because time is running out, it says that we should walk circumspectly. Do you ever talk that way? Can you imagine if you went home and your parents or your family members or your friends say, hey, what did you learn this weekend? What did you talk about? And you say to them, well, we talked about the importance of walking circumspectly. That's a phrase we don't use a lot, right? To walk circumspectly. I love the phrase. It's one you should own and learn. It's okay to learn even on Saturday morning. To walk circumspectly in light of all the circumstances of life, be very careful. Be very careful how you walk. Some of you got that, right? Yeah, that's good. Be very, very careful. Be careful how you walk. It does matter. Now, I can tell by your posturing, and by the way, some of you are listening and some of you are not, I can tell that some of you have bought into a lie. I can tell you bought into a lie. You know what that lie is? That it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how I live. Doesn't matter what I say. Doesn't matter what I think. Doesn't matter where I go. Doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter. Because you know what I can do in life? I can take this concept of God's grace and I can abuse it. And I can twist it. And I can redefine it. And I can say, God is loving. God is gracious. God is merciful. So he doesn't really care what I do. So I can just do what everybody else does. And I can see what everybody else sees. And I can look at what everybody else looks at. It doesn't matter because God's gracious, right? And the truth is, you want to know the truth about God? He is gracious all the time. Grace on top of grace. He is merciful all the time. But that doesn't mean he wants you to live however you want to live. That's what Paul was talking about when he says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin so grace can abound? Should we sin so there can be more and more grace? That makes sense. If God's going to be gracious when I sin, why don't I sin more so he can be more and more gracious? You know what Paul says about that? He says, you know what? No way. God forbid it. Here's what he says in the original language. I love this. Meganoita. Meganoita. God forbid it. May it never be that we take grace and we use it as a way to say, I can live however I want to live. And I can tell, not that I'm magic, like Dionne Warwick. There it is again. I can tell, listen to me. Dionne who? Exactly. I can tell that some of you just don't really give a rip right now. And part of that is because you have been influenced by the culture and the world in which you live. Instead of allowing the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to govern and guide the way you think and live. There's a day coming. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, where it's all going to be revealed, all of it. It's all going to be made known. It's all going to be shown. It's all going to be evidenced. The big reveal. Secondly, there's going to be the big test. The big examination of all that you've done. From the moment you trusted in him to the moment you stand before him. You know what the third part of the judgment seat of Christ is? The big distribution. You see, what the Lord Jesus longs to do is to verbally, and this is in the next chapter, verse 5 of chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, to verbally say, you know what? Nice job. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. Paul continues this thought in the next chapter. We won't, but he does. And he says, one day, it's all going to be evaluated. It's all going to be judged. So don't do it now. Stop passing judgment before the time, because the day is coming when it's all going to be evaluated and judged. And at the end of that evaluation, each man's praise will come to him from God. One of the things that's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ is there's going to be things said where the righteous judge, the Lord Jesus, is going to evaluate all that we've said and done, and he's going to verbally respond to it. One of those famous responses that we are familiar with is the Lord Jesus saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. End of verse 5 of chapter 4 of this same book, he says, each man's praise, that's verbal, will come to him from God. So one of the parts of the big distribution is the distribution of words. The Lord Jesus is going to look at all that we've said, done. It's all going to be evaluated and tested, revealed and tested, and then he's going to reward us. Look at what it says. After the test, and by the way, at the end of verse 13, I didn't read this, but I want to, and it says this, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test, the big test, the quality of each man's work. It's not just what we have done, but it's why we have done it. Motives are a part of it. You can never have perfect motives. So don't wait until your motives are perfect. They'll never be perfect. But you can have overarching or prevailing motives that are more pure than not. Because the quality of our work is going to be evaluated. Not just what we've done, but why we have done it and how we have done it. All those things matter. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. Verse 14, if any man's work which he has built upon it, the foundation remains, he shall receive a reward. This is crazy. Good Saturday morning. Listen to me. One day, the Lord Jesus, the one who died for you, the one who was buried and rose again, the one who provided you the free gift of salvation, he one day wants to say to you, thank you. Thank you for taking what I've given you. Everything that you have is because I've given it to you. Thank you for taking what I've given to you and using it well. Thank you for living for me. Thank you for doing what I say. Thank you for obeying and abiding. Thank you for being a testimony. Thank you for using that gift. Thank you for serving in that particular way. Thank you for, thank you for, thank you for. Here's the crown of life, and here's the crown of righteousness, and here's this crown, and here's this reward, and here's this verbal praise. Are you kidding me? One day Jesus is going to do that for each one of us. So let's not sleep away our time on the planet and play video games and spend the majority of our lives on Facebook. Because our lives are going to be examined. All of it. All of it. What are the steps to the judgment seat of Christ? Man, I wish I had a clue. Oh, wait. His word tells us. The first step is what? The big reveal. The second step is what? The big test. The third step is what? The big distribution. After the test, if there is something that we have done that remains, some of it will be burned up. It won't be lasting. It will be like wood, hay, and stubble. Because we didn't have the right motive. Or we didn't do it God's way. And so that will be burned up as it's tested perfectly and righteously. But some of it will remain. Like gold and silver and precious stones. And whatever remains, we're given a reward for that. Is that not crazy? We're given a reward for that. Listen to what it says. And if any man's work which he has built upon it, it is the foundation, by the way, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work is burned up, that's a reality, could happen, he shall suffer loss. Now this is a very important question. What does he suffer the loss of? And here's the thing. And this will, if you go to Emmaus Bible College or other Bible colleges for your education, higher education after high school, you can learn, and you don't have to go to a Bible college to do this, but you can learn how to be a good student of the text of God's Word. And one of the things is to say and to learn to interpret it in light of what the context says. What's the verses before and after say? And so when he says this, if any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? What is he talking that someone can lose at this event called the judgment seat of Christ? What can they lose? I'm asking you. What can they lose? Who said? I heard several of you say that. Reward. That's exactly right. Reward can be lost at the judgment seat of Christ. Because it's tested by the perfect righteous judge. The process of testing is much like fire, which refines, and some of it will burn up. And what will be lost then is the reward that one could have received. The reward is lost, but he is not lost. One of the principles of interpreting Scripture is to interpret it in light of the context. But another important principle of interpreting Scripture is to interpret Scripture in light of what the rest of Scripture says. And so how is it that we know that he cannot be talking about losing your salvation? How do we know that? I'm asking you, quiz rally monsters. I'm asking you, mountain toppers. I'm asking you, Christian schoolers, homeschoolers, public schoolers. I'm asking you, how do we know he can't be saying you lose your salvation? He's talking about that what is lost is salvation. How do we know he's not saying that? Because he said the opposite in other places. He gives us everlasting life. Salvation is not earned, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his what? He has saved us. Mercy, he has saved us. What happens when someone genuinely becomes a believer? They experience the reality of eternal security, and they can have assurance. He who has the Son has what? Life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. John writes in 1 John 5 and he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you can know that you have eternal life. It's not a, oh, maybe I'll keep it, maybe I won't. There's a great song, I don't know who sings it these days, a Christian artist, maybe you'll know it when I describe it to you, but he talks about growing up in a church that taught you can lose your salvation. But now he realizes that Scripture doesn't teach that, and the song is all about that. Anybody know the song? I don't remember. Maybe I'll get it to you later. But what a great reality to realize I can't lose my salvation. When I trust in Christ, I pass from death unto life. Done deal. No man can pluck us from the Father's hand, from the Son's hand. So we can be eternally secure and have assurance of eternal life. And so Scripture cannot contradict Scripture. So here it's not saying you lose salvation. It is saying you lose reward. But you know what? That ought to convict you nevertheless. Who wants to go through the judgment seat of Christ process and lose reward? If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. This is not just chutes and ladders in Candyland. This is not some make-believe story. This is going to happen one day. And this is a sobering reality that should bring crazy conviction, but should also bring crazy comfort. Living today in light of that day, remembering the Bema, thinking about this process each and every day. Now let me ask you, before this message, when was the last time you thought about the judgment seat of Christ? And that reality affecting the way you think and live. When was the last time? Can I tell you this? Those that have gone before us, the heroes of the faith, they lived in light of this stuff. They lived in light of what was going to happen in the future, and that affected the way they live today. I was in youth ministry for years, officially. I still am. Hello. But officially, I was in youth ministry from 1994 until 2005. I was serving in a local church as a youth minister and did a bunch of other things as well. And back in the day, some of you remember this. Some of you weren't even on the planet, so just listen. Back in the day, there was the rage, you see? There was this trend, this fad that was very popular. And there's this expression, what goes around, you know how that goes? What goes around comes around. And so when I was just getting started in youth ministry, there's this concept called What Would Jesus Do bracelets. Does anybody remember those days? What Would Jesus Do bracelets? So when I was in youth ministry, and I probably had them at camp too, I bought every color of these bracelets. And I was giving them away like candy. My youth group had them, and anybody that I interacted with, we would just pass out these jokers and encourage people to wear these bracelets. Kind of a cool trend. Isn't that a good thing to ask? What would Jesus do? Walk with Jesus daily. Here's another spin on those letters. What will Jesus declare at the judgment seat of Christ? When all is said and when all is done, what will be said about what I have done? This event is real for all believers, and it should motivate us to live differently. What goes around comes around. And so maybe it hasn't hit your metropolitan area yet, but they're back, people. They're back. And so I dare you to go to Barnes & Noble's or Books A Million or in your jammies, jump online and order you one and wear it in your jammies. I said that. Order it. Get online, Amazon Prime it, and get yourself a bracelet and wear it. I have friends that are older than I am that are packing, that are wearing these bracelets, trying to think about what would Jesus do? Walk with Jesus daily. What will Jesus declare? Remember my friend Dennis? You don't know him, but I told you about him earlier. Dennis is the one who kept saying to me, John, Todd, Scott, remember the Bema, remember the Bema, remember the Bema. Well, here's one of the reasons why it was so important to him. He had a really good friend. He had a good friend that he spent a lot of time with. He went to, I think they went to Bible college together or did ministry together. And this good friend of his, I think his name was Clayton. I think he called him Clay Bob, something like that. Clayton, his dad was a guy named Joe. His last name was Wall, Mr. Joe Wall. Mr. Joe Wall wrote a book entitled, listen to me now, hear me later, entitled Going for the Gold. Going for the Gold. He wrote this book. You know what that book is all about? It's all about the judgment seat of Christ. I dare you to Google it and buy it for $4.99. Going for the Gold. It's all about this event, the judgment seat of Christ. And in that book, he wrote something I'm reading to you now. It's in your packet, so if you want to follow along, great. But it's entitled, In the Presence of the King. And it is a very creative and yet biblically supported description of the judgment seat of Christ. We've talked about it today. The big reveal, the big test, the big distribution of the judgment seat of Christ. And here is that event described very creatively. So follow along if you want to, or just listen, but please don't distract yourself or others as we finish up here today. It's entitled, In the Presence of the King. I dare you to think about this scene. The scene is breathtaking. You have died, and the Lord has come for those who believe in Him. You have been joined to your resurrection body and now stand in the presence of your glorious Savior, the matchless Lord of the church, the absolute monarch of the entire creation. Your life flashes before you with three-dimensional vividness and stereophonic clarity. You can tell this is dated. Your beloved Lord publicly sets the record straight. Listen to this. Living in light of the judgment seat of Christ can provide you all kinds of freedom. All the false accusations, lies, and unfair criticisms you received in life are exposed for what they really were. Full vindication at last. Jesus then examines all that you have said, thought, and done in light of your purposes and motives. Why did you do that? Why didn't you do this? His fiery eye reveals the true value of all that you have brought before Him. You are awestruck and defenseless as you hear Jesus' declaration of all that is worthless and sinful, and you are pierced with a deep sense of shame. We're going to look at that passage in our next session. Your true spiritual maturity in life is examined, and He decrees the kind of welcome you will experience when you enter His glorious kingdom. That passage says that your entrance into glory can abundantly be supplied. Not every believer enters glory the same way. We all enter. How will we enter? You are commended publicly for your faithful service and for your public loyalty to Him. Then He awards you incorruptible symbols of honor that are accompanied with the announcement of your responsibilities in Jesus' glorious eternal kingdom. That's the millennial kingdom we talked about last night. The literal earthly political kingdom where we will reign on earth for 1,000 years with Jesus. Because Jesus Himself is ultimately, here's why this is an appropriate motivation. Because Jesus Himself is ultimately the source of all that is good in your life, He is glorified by every honor He bestows on you. You have just been through the judgment seat, the Bema seat of Christ. Now I'm going to ask you a question as we close. We're closing. I'm going to ask you this question. I asked it last night. So what? What is your response? Last night I said, what is your response to the great white throne judgment? And we said one response is that is unbelievably sobering. and frightful, and rightfully so. It causes me to say, you know what, I'm so grateful that I don't have to go through that. This was last night, the Great White Throne. I need to really share the gospel and live out my Christian faith in a way that people wonder, why am I different? Those are reactions to the Great White Throne, an event for only unbelievers. What's your reaction today to the judgment seat of Christ? I want to know. I'm asking, what do you think? What's your reaction to this event? The big reveal, the big test, the big distribution. What's your reaction? What do you think? A little bit anxious. That's good. He said, I'm a little bit anxious. And that's a good response. I struggle with anxiety, honestly. Panic attacks and those sorts of things. It's been a reality in my life for the last 10 years or so. It's an ugly thing. Hate it. But the Lord orchestrates, and so I'm learning a lot through it, truthfully. But hear me say this to you. This event should be a little unsettling. It should be a little convicting. And that's what he's referencing there. What else? What else is your reaction to this event? Please and thank you.
Convicting in the sense just thinking about where our hearts are.
Yeah. So we can fool one another, right? We can fake one another out, and we can pretend, and we can put on masks, and we can go through the motions. But we don't fool him. And so he's going to evaluate it perfectly, not just what we do, but how we do it and the motives behind our doing. What else? What's another reaction to this? Youth group leaders, great to talk about these things with your youth, with your peeps. Talk through these details. What's another reaction today? It is exciting, Chelsea. I was hoping somebody would say that. It's not something we have to just live in dread and fear. I don't want to. You know what Paul said at the end of his life? He said, you know what? I have fought. I have kept. I have finished. And I know that there awaits for me the crown of righteousness. But not only for me, but for everybody who longed for his appearing. Paul lived in light of this day, and he looked forward to the day. He looked forward to it. I know there's going, isn't that confident? Is that arrogance? No. Paul says, I know that I will receive the crown of righteousness, and it's not only for me, but it's for anybody else who can't wait for Jesus to come back and who is longing for his appearing. So this event can and should change the way you think and live, and you can be excited about it. Can bring all kinds of freedom and comfort, knowing that Christ is going to evaluate it perfectly. People on the planet don't. And we get treated the wrong way, and unfair things happen, and life is crazy hard. And this is the place where it all gets set straight. The verses that follow are my favorite verses. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And it really brings comfort to know that one day he's going to set the record straight. So conviction and comfort. Any other reactions? It's okay to think about these things and talk about these things. And it's okay to remember the Bema. Father, help us to remember the Bema. Help us to not be lulled to sleep by the chaos of this culture and by the lie of the land, which many in the church are believing as well. That we can just bank on you being gracious and merciful and live however we want. Some of these kids right now don't care. Some of these kids right now are seeing things on the internet they should not see. They're listening to things that they should not listen to. They're saying things they should not say. They're doing things they should not do. And I pray that you might cause them to realize that doing life your way is the best way. So help them to obey, but that help them to not look at obedience the wrong way, that it's just all about duty, but there's great delight in doing life your way, because your way is the best way. So help us to obey. Father, I pray that you would be at work in the minds and hearts of young people here who are not saved and they know it, or might be unsure of their salvation. Father, the reality of the great white throne is their reality. And so I pray that they might not postpone and wait to accept salvation through faith in Christ Jesus alone. Help them to realize that the great white throne is not an event they have to go through. For those of us who have accepted Christ, may we rejoice and give thanks that we do not have to experience the great white throne. But may we never forget that we do have to experience the judgment seat of Christ. And so may we be wise master builders. May we be careful how we build. May we walk circumspectly. And may we build with things that are lasting and enduring and will remain after the test of fire. Help us to live in light of the big reveal, the big test, and the big distribution. Help us to remember the bema. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.